We are in the 2021 through 2023 Red Service Manual on page 44, chapter 7, Conference Committees. Most questions suggested for the conference agenda are assigned to one of the 13 standing committees, where items can be discussed in small groups before being considered by the full conference body. Without committees, it is doubtful that any conference would be able to function effectively. Most conference committees work closely with the corresponding trustees committee, and the two maintain communication throughout the year and meet at the beginning of conference week for a joint session. The joint meeting is designed to share information. No actions are taken. Again, please send any questions directly to Billy through the chat. He will be answering questions throughout this presentation as he sees fit. And Billy, you'll have until 5 minutes to the top of the hour. The time is now yours.
Thanks, Brooke. Billy Alcoholic. Good to be here. Let's see. Change the gallery view. So, everybody, we are on chapter seven. I'm going to try to walk everyone through like the year of the conference committee so that we cover all of it and share things, most importantly, that you can't read. Some of the most important things are actually not in the book as far as allowing you to like, what does this really look like or what really happened? So to do that, it's best that we go in chronological order. So right now, I would say, the way I look at things, that we're about to start or have started the new conference year. In other words, the General Service Conference happened in April. Delegates went home. A lot of delegate reports have been given about the conference. Some people are happy, some people are mad. Next year it'll be vice versa. Some will be mad and some will be happy. But that's where we are right now. And soon, the conference report will come out. The hard copy and an anonymity protected electronic copy. But if you're thinking about committees, if you read the book at all, you can count starting with agenda 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on page 45, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So, 11 standing committees and 2 secondary committees. I mentioned a little last week, secondary committees that we have are archives and international conventions, regional forums. They don't have as much on their agendas. So about 18 delegates are chosen to be on a secondary committee besides their primary committee. They usually only have to meet one night a week over dinner at the conference, except for every couple of years, the International Convention Committee. Because if you don't know this, we start looking at the site about 14 years ahead of time. Like we know that next year, the International Convention is going to be in Vancouver. We also know that in 2030, the International Convention is going to be in St. Louis. And now we recently learned that our 100th anniversary in 2035 will be in Indianapolis. However, I will tell you that it won't be too long from now before we start working on 2040. And as that gets closer, because if you look, we just picked Indianapolis, it's almost 2025. We usually pick the city around 10 or 11 years ahead of time. So sometime around 28, 29, that committee will be very busy again. It will come in a day early. So, but just so you know, there are two secondary committees. So we're going to stay chronologic. Right now, let's just use the Public Information Committee as an example. But right now, the 11 standing committees are made up of two kinds of delegates. Right now, whatever today's date is, July 15th, 2024. They're made up of panel 73 and panel 74 delegates. The panel 74 attended their first conference 2 months ago. The panel 73 attended their second conference a couple of months ago. Now, between now and December 31st, that is the conference committee. It is those panel 73 and panel 74 delegates. The same committee that was at the conference in April, with only one change. Once the conference is over, the panel 73 chairperson, who was the chairperson at the last conference for that committee, is no longer the chair. The panel 74 first-year delegate that was elected chair, then the first-year delegate that was elected alternate chair, they are the chair and alternate chair of that committee from the time the conference is over leading forward to next year. So right now we have a bunch of conference committees with like nine people on them. They will proceed throughout the rest of this year doing their job as a delegate in their local area. If there are any meetings with the General Service Board, because now after COVID and after last year with some, you know, issues that popped up, the board meets with the conference to talk about what's going on. They will meet with the delegates, the panel 73 and 74 delegates. And the rest of the year hopefully finishes without any great controversy. In a couple of weeks, the first board weekend will happen since the conference. Some new trustees will show up. AAWS and the Grapevine already had their first meeting in June after the conference. A lot of times what happens with a lot of these committees is after this July board weekend, the chair of the trustees committee, so I was using PI as an example, the chair of the PI committee will probably talk to the chair of the conference committee, the new chair that was elected for next year at this year's conference. The chair of the trustees committee will probably fill that chair of the conference committee in on whatever happened over the board weekend regarding PI or any of the other committees, but they usually all do it. There is actually much better communication today between the board and the conference than there ever has been in the past. That started to really improve in, let's say, 2010, 2012, 2015, and it continues to improve. If there happens to be, like the conference charter or the concepts talk about, if the trustees needed to do a poll of the current delegates, of the whole all voting members of the conference, let's just say something important came up, until December 31st of this year, it would be those panel 73 delegates. So, what's the next thing that really happens that involves, affects conference committees? Well, this fall, starting in like September, going to like the end of November, about half of our areas, about 45 areas, will have elections, and they will elect their new delegate, new alternate delegate, new area chair, however they do it. I'm not here to tell the areas. Every area has their own thing. But half of the delegates will be elected, and the delegates that are elected this year in this fall will become panel 75 delegates. Their first conference will be the 75th General Service Conference in 2025, next April. So, if you think about this in a timeline, Sometime around between now and December 1st, all the new delegates are elected. The current delegate has the job of sending in the information to GSO of all the new officers who were elected. At GSO, there is a specific staff assignment. It's a 2-year assignment called conference secretary. There's a staff member who serves as the conference secretary. That staff member is compiling all the new delegate and alternate delegate information. And then, probably the most significant thing that happens that no one ever sees is that in December, those 45 or so new delegates need to be assigned to committees. And a few of them need to be assigned to a committee and a secondary committee. However, it's not just as easy as assigning people to a committee, because there are rules, of course. Today, it's easy to do because they can make a program and put the rules inside the code of the program. But I'll share with you some of those concerns about, like, all right, we have 45 people that came off committees. We have 45 people we have to put on committees. But we can't just, like, put them anywhere. Because let's give an example. My delegate at the last conference was on the Conference Committee on Trustees. And my delegate had to resign, so my alternate became delegate, but we can keep that off to the side. The new Panel 75 delegate from Area 15, South Florida, is not allowed to be on the Conference Committee on Trustees. You are not allowed to be on the same committee as the delegate you follow. That is pretty much a rule in stone. I'm sure sometime something happened where that had to be broken, but it's pretty much a guarantee. Next, when we were assigning 4 or 5 people to the new committee in December, we already have 4 or 5 panel 74s, so we're going to assign 4 or 5 panel 75s. Nobody on a conference committee can be in areas that geographically touch each other. Now, that rule goes back to the days of US mail and maybe the Pony Express and worrying about people lobbying and getting together. Well, we all know we don't have to worry about that today, but it's still there. So, like, the North Florida and South Florida delegates will probably never be on the same committee. The Georgia and North Florida and Alabama delegates will never be on the same committee. The Georgia, South Carolina, and Tennessee delegates will never be on the same committee. So that's number two. Number three is regional allotment. You know, we have I'm sorry, 6 regions in the US and 2 in Canada. So we have the Northeast, the Southeast, the East Central, the West Central, the Southwest, and the Pacific in the United States. In Canada, we have Western Canada and Eastern Canada. So with 9 people usually on a conference committee, maybe the most you'll have is one region will have 2 people. But they try to make sure that every committee has at least one person from each region. So they try to do that. Now, there used to be an old rule, just fill you in. So now I told you they do it with a random program. prior to like 2020, 19, you would walk into a room in December. They would take two people from the trustees conference committee. I did it twice. They would have index cards on the tables under all the committee names. And then they would have the stack of new index cards that would say the delegate's name, their area, what panel they are. It would say what committee the delegate before them from their area served on, so you know not to put them on that committee. And then if we like we were having a shower, it would be a blue highlight for a male and a pink highlight for a female across the card. That's how it used to be. Now, I don't know where that rule came from because it used to be that you would try to make sure that the females were spread out so that each female had a committee. Each committee had a female. Finally, we progressed further along in society where we realized, wait a minute, if we could have an all-male committee, why can't we have an all-female committee? So that is kind of now not something that is pretty much cared about. But like I said, one from each region, no more than two on each committee, not touching the border, geographic border of some place you used to, that your area touches, and not serving on the committee of the person in front of you. So that decision is made in December. Around the last week of December, first week of January, the conference welcome kit goes out. Now we do a lot of things electronic. Some things we do a lot of electronic and hard copy. But that is when the delegates find out what committee they have been assigned to or committees. So let's use January 1st of 2025, this January that's coming. Once January 1st comes, those conference committees change their roster. The panel 73s are no longer on that committee. Starting this January 1st, the committees will be made up of panel 74s and panel 73s. I'm sorry, panel 75s and panel 74s. The 74s will be the second year delegates, the 75, the first year delegates. When you get that welcome kit, not only are you told what committee you're on, but you are assigned a conference buddy if you are a new delegate. So you will be assigned randomly some other delegate to be your buddy to talk to, get some feedback, share their experience. Once that happens, remember that's January 1st, right around. We're 6 weeks out from the final agenda coming out, right? September 15th is only around the corner now. Actually, it's 2 months from today. That's the deadline for proposed agenda items for the 75th General Service Conference next year. The trustees have the October board weekend or November, however you want to call it. It's always the last weekend. Sometimes it hits into November 1st. And then the January board weekend to decide which issues can get on the agenda. And I want to stress the trustees don't decide if it's a valid agenda item. It's just that sometimes some work needs to be done by a subcommittee at the trustee level in order to put something on the agenda so there's real information and background. Now, usually what happens after January 1st is the chair of a conference committee, remember I said PI, so that panel 74 chair will get the new list of who is on their committee. They already know the panel 74s, but now they get a list including the panel 75s for this year's conference. Usually, I'm not telling each chair what to do. I'm just sharing what usually happens. That chair will send a welcome email out to the new delegates on that committee, saying, "Welcome to our committee. I've copied the other people who are on our committee." We do have certain committees that get together. I just want to say they can get together on Zoom, but they're not allowed to discuss conference items. They're not allowed to or have discussion on agenda items. Right before the board weekend, I would be curious because every area handles it differently. And probably tomorrow I'll have like a couple of delegates mad at me for saying this because I never know who does and who doesn't. But don't use your virtual hand, just use your regular hand so I can see it. How many people have heard about the proposed agenda item spreadsheet or matrix? How many here have seen it or have heard about it? Okay. Thank you. So I call it the anti-conspiracy theorist spreadsheet because some people say they send something into GSO and it falls into some dark side of the universe that to never be seen again and didn't make it to the agenda. This spreadsheet has been going on now for like 13 or 14 years. It tracks every agenda item sent in by committee. It shows exactly what happened to it when it came in, what committee was it assigned to. Most things are easy. You can read it and you know what committee it gets assigned. If an item comes in that can't be assigned, it goes to the conference committee, it goes to the trustees' conference committee, and they decide which conference committee to send it to. So, sometime in January, right before the board weekend, the chair of the trustees committee will have a call with the entire conference committee. And what they will usually do is review all the items that have been sent in that touch that committee. And they'll show them where they are right now. Did it get sent to the conference already? Is it on the agenda? Was it something that didn't need to go to the conference? Let me throw out that suggestion right now. I get asked so many times, I want to send in a proposed, we love our acronyms. PAIs, we call them now. The first thing you should do if you have an idea for the conference is you should find out if the conference has to weigh in on it. There's a lot of things you might have suggestions for that don't require conference approval. It might be a service piece of literature that's not a conference approved piece of literature. The trustees committee can take care of that. It might be something that AAWS or the Grapevine Board have authority over. But the conference, the trustees committee chair will have a call with the corresponding entire conference committee. Usually. I don't want to tell anybody what they have to do. After the board weekend in January, that conference, that trustee chair will usually have another call with the conference committee. And she or he will let them know what made it to the agenda and what did not. Now, it's a very busy time at GSO. The day the January board weekend ends until February 14th or 15th. Because that's when the final agenda goes out and all the background material for each agenda item has to be assembled and collated and date stamped and put together. Right around Because now we translate everything into French and Spanish. Somewhere between February 15th and February 25th, all the background material goes out to all the delegates. Now, we already went through what delegates go. Tonight, I'm talk about committees. Between March and the conference, most conference committees will get together on Zoom to maybe deal with some housekeeping issues so they don't have to waste time at the conference. Do they want to do things by simple majority or two-thirds? That's each committee's autonomy. When you get the agenda, like I showed you last week, it says, you know, PI, literature, and then it lists each of those items. The committee is not bound to go in that order. The committee is its own boss. The committee might know that they might have one or two or three of really hot issues that they know are going to take a lot of time. They might decide to do them first. They might restack the deck. That's the committee's business. The committee may decide, because when they go to conference, the scheduled time for committees is 9 a.m. until noon on Monday and Tuesday. Some committees may decide to meet after dinner on Sunday night. Literature sometimes does that. Some committees might decide to start at 8 o'clock instead of 9. That's up to them. When the committee meets, sometimes somebody might bring a piece of business to the committee that's not on their agenda. There's a lot of urban myths about this out there. Sometimes people say it's not allowed. That is not true. I'm not talking about floor actions. I'm talking about those nine people in that committee room. They are not limited to their agenda. I'm not saying it's a good idea to just talk about anything. But if we look at translation of background, that was never on a committee agenda. It came out of the finance committee. Because for a long time, we said we couldn't afford it. And the finance committee said, they threw up the, you know, BS flag. They said, too bad. We saw the budget. We can find it. We can find that money. We're recommending. When the committee gets together, I can only share general experience. I served as a chair of the PI committee. So, let me back up a little to the January board weekend. I don't want to focus too much on individuals on the committee and more on the committee, but there is one important thing to mention. At the January board weekend, the chairs of the 11 standing committees and two secondary committees are invited to the board weekend. They get to sit as observers in all the meetings they want to go to, unless it's a confidential executive session of the board. They get to go to the other committee meetings if it's not when their committee is scheduled. But the committee chair will go to their corresponding trustee committee chair and be there so the trustees committees can get kind of some feedback from the delegate chair about any issues that are on their agenda. So when you show up to the conference, if you are a committee chair like I was, you try to get advice from people who've been successful committee chairs before you. So, you know, what's passed on to you? Number one, shut up. Like, you're the chair, you know? Good old, like, solid AA advice, like leaders lead and speakers speak, right? Chair people chair. That does not mean that your committee is give that your area is giving up its voice. If it's a really hot topic and something hasn't been shared that you think your area wants shared, you can share it. But the number one priority, if you accept the responsibility of being a committee chair, is the effective workflow of that committee and to keep that committee moving and, operated on a principled basis. The trustees committees can do a lot of things when things are on their agenda. They can take no action. Then it just goes away. They can recommit it to their committee for next year. They can say, we like this, but it's not really ready to make a recommendation. So we're going to have it come back next year. They'll do what we call an additional committee consideration. That can't be debated. They'll just be noted in their report that they want this agenda item to go to next year's committee. They can make a recommendation. If they make a recommendation that is approved by their committee, it will go to the full General Service Conference on Thursday or Friday, maybe Wednesday afternoon. So what happens is after the committees are done meeting, when you go back on Wednesday and you're in the big room where everybody sits, you have trustee elections on Wednesday afternoon. And then once trustee elections are over, you start going through each committee's recommendations. And the way that works is, let's just say they call up the PI committee, like when I was a chair. I read my whole committee report. So I read all the recommendations. Those are the ones we need the conference to approve with two-thirds, or they go away. Then I read the additional considerations. Those are the items that are not debatable. Just a committee asking for certain things to be done. Once I read the whole report, then the chair of the committee has to go recommendation by recommendation. Remember, they do not require a second from the General Service Conference floor because they're coming from a committee. So I would read a recommendation. I had two, listen. Some of you are going to be delegates. I'm just going to tell you right now. Every year, there's one or two conference chairs who lose the lottery. Let's just put it that way. Like, whatever the hottest, biggest, boiling pile of crap the conference is discussing winds up on your committee that everybody is debating, lobbying, fighting, arguing with each other about. The year that I was chair of PI, we had two of them. One was there was a very popular show on A&E called Biography. They wanted to do one on Bill W. They wanted to use some film footage in the GSO archives. My committee took no action on that in the spirit of anonymity, that if the family wanted to do it, fine, but AA does not break deceased members' anonymity. The second item was the public information survey that we do like every 2 or 3 years. At that time, there were only, again, I'm talking about 1999, I'm sorry, 2000 when I was chair. There were only two choices, believe it or not, on the public information survey. Are you single or are you married? That's it. Someone had written in. At that time, while it was illegal still in most places for gay and lesbian couples to get married, someone wanted domestic partnership on there. Like, that you lived in a domestic partnership. The committee voted to change the form and put that on there, which I thought was a no-brainer. Little did I know I was walking into a hornet's nest. But what happens is you're up there, you read the recommendation. People then share whether they're pro or con, and then it goes to a vote. And then you go to the next thing on your recommendation sheet, and you read that. Some committee chairs are up and down in 20 minutes to a half an hour. Other committee chairs, they're stuck there for a couple hours usually. Literature, PI. But it has to get two-thirds to be an advisory action. The last thing the committee does that week before we get to, you know, when the usually at about 11:45 on Tuesday, because the committees meet Monday and Tuesday mornings, is the committee elects a new chair and alternate chair for next year. All members of the committee vote, but only the first year delegates are eligible, because the second year delegates aren't going to be there. Whoever gets, not a third legacy vote, by the way. Whoever gets the most votes is the chair. Whoever gets the second most is the alternate chair. If there is a tie, you put two vote names in the hat and you pick them out. We do not use hours long third legacy voting for committee chair people. But that is really the life cycle of a committee. Now, I know I already have tons of questions. Let's see. Is technology a major driver of improving communication? That's a double-edged sword question. Sometimes I think we're the only organization where, as technology gets better, our communication is worse. We still haven't found a way to marry our technology to our delegate system, you know? Like, I know certain areas, when the delegate sends out a report, they send them to the whole mailing list. GSRs, DCMs, area committee chairs, whoever. Other areas still go with the delegate only sends them to the DCMs. And the DCM sends them to the GSRs. So I think we're in the middle of how we work in communication. Just heard the agenda item deadline was moved to 9:30 this year. That's possible. Please check with your delegate. Is it possible for delegates whose primary committee assignment is one of the busier committees, e.g. literature, to be assigned to one of the secondary committees? Yes. Equitable distribution of work, I'm waiting until I get through some of these questions to talk about, but I will get to that. What is a committee? What is a good committee chair? What do they act like? I think a good committee chair keeps most of their opinions to themselves, is fair with giving people proper time to talk and not talk, 2 minutes each. A good committee chair is working by consensus. Have we had? Yeah, I've heard it. I've heard every once in a while we have some committee chairs that dominate the whole meeting. That usually blows up. Are there any other questions here before I move on? Because I only have 10 minutes left. So equitable distribution of work. What is it? How does it work? So, going back to 2008, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, it became very apparent that some committees had nothing to do and some committees had too much to do. In full disclosure, full transparency, in case anyone can detect anything in my voice, I am not the biggest fan of equitable distribution of work. But that is the current group conscience. So with committees like literature, and PI, and sometimes others, they would have 18 things on their agenda, 15 things on their agenda. And committees like agenda or policy and admissions or corrections or cooperation with professional community would have like two or three. Equitable distribution of work was created so that if there's too much on a certain committee's workload, they'll give the next couple of items to other committees. Now, let's just use literature as an example. If literature already started working on it at one conference, it will remain on the literature conference committee agenda as long as it's brought back to the conference. But this is why this year you see committees like Grapevine and Policy and Admission and Corrections and Finance dealing with important issues of PI and literature. I just personally, and I can just tell you what was recommended in the past, why didn't we combine some of those other committees that don't have enough work and make a literature two or a PI two? But what we do is equitable distribution of work, and that is our group conscience, and I wholeheartedly support it because we got to get the work done. And we can't just bury one committee, because not only is it unfair to that committee, but ultimately who it's most unfair to is the district or group or area that sent in that proposed agenda item, that it doesn't get the proper attention and respect that it deserves. So that's why equitable distribution of work was created. And for the last couple of years, seems to have worked pretty well. I know some people have complained they don't like that the Finance Committee is making a Grapevine decision. They don't like that the Grapevine Committee is making a literature decision. I get it. But at the end of the day, we're talking about a $700,000 event that there is only so many hours in a day. And so we have to find a way. If one committee starts at 9 on Monday and is done by 10:30 and has nothing to do for the rest of Monday morning and all Tuesday morning, we have to find a way to harness that work together and let everybody pitch in. Is that what it will look like forever? I don't know. There's always good ideas that the service manual says a good idea can come from anywhere. So maybe in 10 years, it'll look a little different. But right now, it seems to be working. And remember, unlike trustee committees, I explain the random assignment of delegate committees. And I explain that you can't be on the committee that your delegate before you had, and you can't be too many people from your region. But here's what you're not allowed to do. You don't get to send a note and say, oh, by the way, you know, I don't know you, you don't know me, but I've been doing corrections work for 9 years, and just put me on the corrections committee. Yeah, we don't do that. Like, that's why you have to elect really good delegates who are going to reach out to the people in their area to get help if it's a subject that they don't know something about. So that's why it doesn't matter that it's the PI committee or the Grapevine committee or the corrections committee that's making a decision on another topic. It's just 9 or 10 AA members. 9 or 10 delegates. But some people seem to still have an issue with that. But the one thing we know that's not going away is work for delegate committees. Conference committees have more work than they ever have before, even with the equitable distribution of work. Now we just have more committees who are working longer. So I am going to open it up for questions. I already answered a couple that was sent in. I just want to look back at that one question that I skipped over because I hadn't talked Is it possible for delegates whose primary committee assignment is one of the busier committees not to be assigned? Most of it's random for archives. I know somebody this year who was on literature and was on international conventions and regional forums. So that does not disqualify you. But even before equitable distribution of work, some of those people were on two committees. But again, it's only 18 people. It's nine people first year, nine people second year who are on those two secondary committees. So please send in any other questions. You can send them in via chat directly to me. Oh, here's a good question. What is the difference between a conference committee chair and the conference delegate chair? That's a really good question. They're in the middle of looking to change how the delegate chair is elected. I'm going to explain the current system. So, on Tuesday, before the committees are done, I told you each committee elects a delegate, elects a chair, and an alternate chair. So, and it's out of all of the first year delegates, because the second year won't be back. So, 11 times 2 is 22. That's a chair and a co-chair for each committee and secondary committee. Now you have 22. By the way, if you are elected chair of a primary committee, you are not eligible to stand for election of a secondary committee. So that's a rule. But take 45 first-year delegates and minus 22. You have 23 delegates left that are first-year delegates that are not a chair or an alternate chair of a committee. At the Wednesday night delegate-only meeting, usually Wednesday, but it can change, each region has to put forward one name, and it can't be anyone that just became a chair or an alternate chair of a committee. Each region puts together one name, so that's eight names. They go in a hat. There's usually not a vote. Usually the delegate body votes to just pick them by lot. So those eight names, one from each region, are in a hat. One name is picked out to be the delegate chair. One name is picked out to be the alternate delegate chair. Those two people still do their work on whatever committee they're on, but they also chair some sessions of the General Service Conference with the general manager and the chair of the General Service Board. So, great question. Committee chairs are elected by plurality. What does that mean? Committee chairs are elected however the committee decides. It's usually majority, whoever gets the most votes. If you are, I know that we have 93 different areas. I want to see if I have a couple of area guidelines right here. Let me just look at my files quickly. So if you look up plurality, some areas use this for certain things. At the General Service Conference, it means that you got the most amount of votes, but not necessarily a majority of all the voters. That's technically what plurality means. We do not have another vote or a runoff to see if someone can get a majority of the votes. Any other questions? Now, in the weeks that I talk too much and I go over, there's a million questions that we never get to. Tonight, I try to be really good, answer questions as we go along, right on track, 4 minutes left till I turn it over to Brooke. Does anyone have another question? Okay. Could you give an example of an agenda item that cannot be assigned? Sure. And is given to the trustee committee? Sure. So remember, when agenda item comes into the conference secretary, there's a couple options they have. They could give it to a trustee committee, but that individual trustee committee, like this is a public information item, this is a corrections item. They might decide to give it to AA World Services Board or Grapevine Board because it's something that comes under them. But if it's something that needs to go to the conference, but no one knows where to put it, they send it to the trustees conference committee. Not any random trustee committee, the trustees committee on the conference, on the general service conference. What would be an example? Let me try to think of one when I was there. Most of them usually kind of, there's a lot of things with cooperation with the professional community, corrections, treatment. Sometimes there's things that blur the line, bridging the gap, because we don't have a bridging the gap committee, but we have bridging the gap in both treatment and correction. So it's just something that's not super clear. I'm trying to think of a last one that I dealt with that we had to decide. The last one I dealt with was something with bridging the gap, and we decided to give it to corrections. Are any items recommitted to trustee committee by the 2024 conference likely to return in 2025? If they're recommit, so let's talk about that carefully. The conference committee, as a conference committee, can decide to take no action but have an additional consideration for the staff to work on it for another year, the office, and send it to next year's conference committee. An item recommitted to a trustees committee is an action that the full body can take. Instead of voting something yes or no, somebody can make a motion to recommit. A motion to recommit. It's likely to come back at next year's conference, but not guaranteed because you're recommitting it to the trustees committee and it's their decision what to do after that. All right, Brooke, it's all yours.
All audio and video files on the District6AA.org website or the District 6 in Area 15 YouTube channel are for personal use only. Reproduction, distribution, and commercial use are not permitted. In accordance with District 6 current practice, no faces are shown in our videos and audio is scrubbed for anonymity prior to publishing. Contributors whose voices are heard have given record and release consent. Opinions expressed by the presenter are their own and do not necessarily represent the group conscience of District 6 as a whole.